more updates as we continue through the week, of course, about the tornado in Oklahoma, and our prayers are with everybody there. And I think of the mayor, and I think of the governor, too, of the state and what they're dealing with, and all the emergency workers, and National Guard is there, the churches, Samaritan's Purse, Red Cross, you know, Salvation Army, they're all there and need our prayers and financial support, too, if you're interested.
Sure, yeah.
You can search, part of that.
Search those out online and go ahead and contribute to the cause there and continue to empower those ministries as they're on the ground helping out. One of the things that's tough to do when there's a storm like this, if you're a parent, is to help keep your kids calm. I mean, we see the coverage on every news channel, and we hear all the reports coming in, see these dramatic images of a total town and neighborhoods destroyed. It can be pretty traumatic for a child to see that. And then when the sirens sound, maybe in your own neighborhood, they could really go into a state of panic almost. And how do we keep our kids calm? I want to ask John and Kendra Smiley about that out of the gate here, I think. We're going to welcome them into the show right now. They are a couple. They are parenting experts, have authored many books on parenting, and regular guests of ours here on Faith Radio Mornings. Good morning, John and Kendra.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Great to have you guys along today. And, of course, all this week we've been covering the news stories about the tornado in Oklahoma. And I know we're going to talk about picking your battles here in just a moment, but Ted was going to ask you about how do you deal with this when your kids hear about tornadoes, maybe in our own area, and maybe they're thinking, well, that's going to happen to us. Do you guys have any thoughts on that this morning?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, because we do live, we live in central Illinois, and that's sort of a tornado alley, too, not to the extent that Oklahoma is. But one of the things that's important is that your kids know you have a plan. So obviously you have to have a plan. And we did. You know, okay, kids, you know, if the alerts come on and we hear the alarm, you know, from the fire department or whatever, here's what we do. We have a place in the basement that's the most safe place, and we'll all go down there. So having a plan is one way to help your kids rid themselves from some of that anxiety when the question comes up, what if that happens here?
Right, and I think a lot of it goes along with the model that mom and dad have with their kids, and that's if mom and dad are panicky and full of anxiety about things like that, then obviously the kids are going to pick up on that. If mom and dad are not, if they realize, like Kendra said, well, we've got a plan, here's what we do, and we just execute the plan, then the kids are going to be more anxious-free.
You know, it's interesting. We were reading some of the different newspaper articles about what had happened, and there was one, and maybe you guys have discussed it, but at a school, the roof and walls had collapsed, and a teacher who was shielding the kids in her class, the leg of a desk pierced her right calf, jutting out on both sides of her legs. And I love this quote. She said, "By the grace of God, I kept it together. I couldn't go into hysterics in front of my children, in front of the other students. I had to be calm for them." And that's sort of what John was talking about.
And I know in some of, one teacher had her students singing. They decided that they would sing and kind of keep them distracted that way. And these teachers are amazing. And this is a great example for us as parents, like you're saying. What do we do in the case of bad weather like that? And they talk a lot, too. I was just kind of looking through what NOAA says, you know, the government agency, and they're talking about have maybe sleeping bags or mattresses or something in the basement, too, when you have that safety drill and have the family practice this ahead of time, but have something that you can kind of put around yourselves, too, to keep the debris off of you.
Right. And I think that idea of a pleasant distraction, and realize it would be difficult, but there was a very minor situation in our family, and I was with our older son. He was probably about 4 and a half. John was with the younger, and the older son and I started counting backwards. Let's count backwards. And I made it just sort of a game. Let's count backwards from 10. Can you count backwards from 20? And that then got his mind on that and got it off of what he was afraid of.
Yeah, PK, you've often mentioned the technique as well about praying the alphabet, right, where you start with the letter A and then think of somebody or something to pray for that starts with that letter. Another good exercise there, too.
It really
right.
does.
Right, singing hymns with Abide in Me. Mm-hmm. You know, blessed be the Lord our God. Well, that's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good things there. Well, thank you for that insight.
Yeah.
That's very helpful, I think, for a lot of us as parents. Sometimes we just ourselves are inundated by the news and wonder, oh, yeah, I have to be a parent. How can I keep them calm without And maybe just turn the TV off every once in a while, too. It's always a good recommendation.
Yes, when John was in the military, he was sent to the Middle East about 3 days after Kuwait was invaded, and the kids were starting sixth grade, starting fourth grade, and starting kindergarten. And that was a war you could actually watch on television, in a sense. And, of course, no war had broken out past that point, at that point. But I realized that the kids seeing those people in their gas masks was not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I tuned in during the day when the boys were at school, but then it was off at night.
Yeah, that's a wise choice there. John and Kendra Smiley joining us again here on Faith Radio Mornings. Well, let's transition then to our topic for today, the wrong battle. You've posted on our website at myfaithradio.com. We have a link there if people want to check out this post. It's pretty interesting. You got a question from a listener about picking a battle. Talk about that.
Oh, yes. The question was, I picked a battle with my strong-willed daughter and then decided it wasn't a battle worth fighting. What should I do now? And that's an interesting thing, really, on two counts. And maybe first, if we just take a look at picking a battle with any child. Now, she says this was her strong-willed child, but any child, you pick a battle, you think, ah, that really wasn't worth it. You know, you can always, you know, one option anyway, is to just admit you made a mistake. Make the correction, and actually a compliant child will be, oh, okay, that's good. They probably haven't even protested the fact that they've decided you picked a wrong battle. So that's one way to handle it, especially if you're talking about a compliant child.
Right, and I think it's a little bit different with a strong-willed child. You've been in battle with them, and they want control of the situation. Now you have to really think long and hard about whether you're going to give in or not in there. There are a couple reasons for that. It's a control issue with a strong-willed child, and it's not so much about the thing, it's about the control. And sometimes, as a parent, you have to look at that and say, well, I did, this was a poor decision, but I'm going to go ahead and follow through with it, and then I'll rectify it and not do it again. And that, in some situations, is the correct thing to do. In other situations, it might be okay with a strong-willed child to say, you know what, I made a mistake here, and let's rethink this. So like Kendra said, with a compliant child, it's an easier decision than with a strong-willed child.
And I think it's hard sometimes for parents because they're thinking any time that you give in, even if you're wrong, then that child has won, and they don't want them to gain any ground in the whole battle. So maybe talk to that parent that's listening this morning going, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with the security we have in our parenting skills. A lot of times parents think that if they're kind of insecure and not sure about their parenting skills and how they parent, and it's kind of a scary issue. I think if as a parent we are secure in what we're doing and the information that we have and the decisions that we're making, we're more able than to I think say, you know what, that was a bad choice, I'm sorry, let's rethink this thing. And I think that's the same in a lot of different areas of life. The security that we have and what we're doing helps us make better decisions than when we're insecure.
Good point. John and Kendra Smiley here on Faith Radio Mornings, our guests right now. And we'll continue talking with them about choosing your battles wisely and dealing with a strong-willed child. By the way, they do have a book titled Journey of a Strong-Willed Child, and we have links for their resources and website up at myfaithradio.com if you want to go a little deeper and get more information on what John and Kendra offer in this on this topic. 7:45, more with John and Kendra Smiley coming up in just 2 minutes here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Yeah. Sorry, I was singing along.
Little John Cougar Mellencamp. It's an appropriate song.
Did you say John Cougar?
John Cougar Mellencamp. John okay. Mellencamp. He's had about 8 different names, I think.
But yeah,
that's what he is. Anyway, it's an appropriate song. Fighting authority. That seems like what kids just want to do sometimes, strong-willed or not. But when they are strong-willed, it can be extra difficult. We're talking about choosing your battles with John and Kendra Smiley. They're offering us some good tips today and equipping us as parents.
So, John and Kendra, here's another question for you as I'm just kind of reflecting back over the years with my two kids. You know, there are those days when they just wear you down and you don't want to be in the battle anymore, or you're busy and you have to move on to something else. And so you just give in. And the kids remember that, don't they? If you just kind of falter a little bit and you give in to something that maybe you shouldn't have. How do we kind of stand strong, even when it's a really good battle that we have to win? How do we stand strong and not let them wear us down?
Well, I think it's 100% correct. We get tired as parents, and especially when you're dealing with strong-willed kids, because that's one of their tactics. They want to wear us down. They want us to get to that point where we're tired and just give in, so they have control. So your observation is exactly right. And when we do that, we embolden them. We are actually saying, ha-ha, to them, you've won. I am tired. You've accomplished what you're after. And I think the best way to deal with that as parents, because as parents, we all get tired, whether we're dealing with strong-willed kids or compliant kids. Parenting is a tiring, difficult, daily thing, obviously, as we know. And I think probably one of the biggest helps that we can give parents out there is to look long-term. It's so very, very important. If we're dealing with short-term, if we're dealing with our tiredness, we're probably going to give in. But if we look down the road, if we look 10 years down the road and say, you know what, if I give in right now, what are the ramifications that are going to present themselves with my kids because I didn't stick it out? And it's like, I think, in athletics when you learn, when you're running a race and it's the last, 10 yards or 20 yards of a long run, a long race, you sit there and you say, you know what, I can do this, I can do this. And I think you do the same thing with parenting. When you get tired and you're ready to give in just because you're tired, you look at the goal. And when we look at the goal, then it helps us not give in to that tiredness.
Well, and I think there's something to be said, too, for parents taking a break and pausing. If they're in the heat of a battle, so to speak, going back and forth with a child before they rule on a decision, take a moment and go and think it through and just say, I need 5 minutes. I'll come back and talk to you in a moment, because that would help avoid making a mistake in a decision, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Give yourself a timeout. That's what I always say. Excuse me, boys. I'll be back with you on this one. And, you know, and if you can discuss it with your spouse, if that's legitimate, if they're not, far away and you can't get a hold of them, so that you can calm down, so that you're not reacting. One of the best things we could do, if we could do it all the time, is to respond, which is a thinking reply, rather than react, which is sort of a knee-jerk. And so as much as we can do that responding as parents, the much as we can, the better.
Right, and I think with kids, especially with teens and older kids, Ted, when you're doing something like that, let them know what you're doing.
Right.
Just don't not answer them. Just don't be quiet. I think that even happens in marriages when a spouse talks.
It does?
Well, let me tell you guys, I'm laughing right now because I go, are you thinking or are you ignoring me?
I think... yeah, I have that tactic, as a matter of fact. I know that tactic well. And as parents, sometimes we do that, and we don't respond to our kids,
right.
And we're thinking. I mean, I think that's an excellent idea. But let them know and say, you know what, I need 10 minutes, I need 5 minutes, I need 30 seconds. And so that they know, hey, Mom and Dad, you've heard what I've asked, and now you're thinking about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow. Whatever it is, be a good communicator.
And while I'm thinking, you're not to give me any input, additional input.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to go back to the other thought I had too about when you let them win sometimes when maybe they shouldn't. And then you realize later, man, I really let down my guard on that one. They wore me down. I wasn't sure-footed in that decision. Can you come back again and just explain it and say, you know, because these kids, like you're saying, John, this is what the strong-willed kid is all about. They have memories that don't forget any of that.
Steel trap.
Yeah, they've got that. And so, well, last time you said I could or whatever, can we go back and in a mature way, you know, just explain to them that that was maybe a bad decision, but now I'm going to really stick to my guns and say no or whatever.
Oh,
it might
yeah,
be.
Absolutely. And I think we don't do one mistake and then do another mistake because we made the first one. Absolutely
right.
Not. You know, we go back, we realized we did give in, and we do exactly what you said. We say, you know what, I think I made a mistake there, and we're going to make this decision now. You bet. We don't want to ever get in the downward cycle that, oh, goodness sakes, I made a mistake, so therefore I'm going to make another mistake. No, we regroup and we come back stronger.
And you don't, if you have said, no, we're not going to operate that way anymore, now we're going to go by this new plan, you add better. better stick with the new plan.
That's right.
Because they are going to try it every corner to see if you're really serious or not.
So right. That's exactly right. Boy, you don't want to give in the second time. If they go into all their gymnastics and antics and whatever, and you say, "Oh, I've had it." Oh my goodness! If you go down the second time, it just gets harder and harder.
Well, I can hear the response coming from kids, maybe based on experience. That's so unfair. That's so unfair. It's been like this before. How can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, they'll work at you with that word, unfair.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my
whatever
goodness.
Whatever works. And if emotion works with dad and something else works with mom, they've got it figured out. Never forget how smart your kids are. That's a good word for your listeners.
And that's a great one, too, Ted, when they come back and they say things like that just absolutely play on your emotions. And you're thinking as a parent, my goodness, it's not fair. Oh, my,
right,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
they've got you. And that's when you have to rise up and realize that you're the parent and that you are making a good decision. And, again, that comes back in the security we have with God giving us the ability to be the parent.
Well, and isn't this like kind of like a military thing too, John? Because you have strategy and then you have countermeasures. And
no wonder he was such a good parent.
Yeah, right.
It is, and it's interesting because that's what Kendra and I say when we're doing parenting seminars, especially with strong-willed kids. If you don't have a strategy on how to deal with these kids, you've probably lost the war, lost the battle, because they do, and it's God-given to them. They have an automatic strategy on all the emotional things that they use and all the antics they use, and that's a very, very good point that we better have a strategy as parents or we're behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm. John and Kendra Smiley, our guests here again on Faith Radio Mornings, and a good resource is one of their books, Journey of a Strong-Willed Child, that's on this topic, and it speaks exactly about what we're talking about here. We'll have a link for their website at myfaithradio.com. In closing, talk about the importance maybe of reconciling through prayer with your child when the battle has happened. We don't want to maybe tie those two too closely together so they get a bad idea of faith and what that's really all about. Just speak to that a bit, if you would.
That's a really good point, too, because sometimes I see parents using, I call it the God card. Mm. Well, you know, God says you need to do whatever. Yes, God does say that. It's probably not a good idea to tie it too closely to maybe some sort of conflict that you're having as parents. Go ahead, John, and then I have another thought.
Right, and one quick thing here. I think that prayer with kids should be a daily thing.
Yes. Mm.
So that it's a routine, and we're not throwing it in in the midst of a tussle with our kids or whatever, as Kendra said, playing the God card. It should be a routine thing. I don't care what kind of day you had with your kids, whether it be in the evening, morning, both. You should have a routine of praying with your kids.
That's exactly the point I was going to make, that you know, we closed every day, especially when the kids were younger, when we were praying, you know, with them. And when they got to be about junior high, they pretty much took over that themselves. But that consistency. We go to bed at night and mom and dad pray, and we pray about what went on. Then that might be a perfect time to say, you know, God, help us to understand a little more, you know, whatever the situation, and if there needs to be forgiveness, help us extend forgiveness, or whatever it is. And that's the time to handle it rather than maybe in the midst of the battle.
And maybe staying away from those prayers like, and God, help Johnny behave for a
child.
Yeah,
right?
And God, I hope that he's heard every word that I've said.
Big prayer elbow going on.
We have a friend who something very similar happened to that, where he was getting scolded during a prayer, and when the person said amen, the person actually said, "Now, did you hear what I said?"
Oh,
and this gentleman said, "Oh, golly, I thought you were talking to God."
Good response.
And as a parent, we can do that with our kids, and that is such a good point.
Yeah.
That is so wrong.
It is so wrong. Yeah,
that's
it's
right.
Not how God approaches it at all.
Right.
That's right.
Well, thanks, you guys.
Great
These
stuff.
Are so practical, and I just love the fact that we can be the parent, and you have just encouraged us once again to win the battle. So thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys again in a couple of weeks. Have a great day.
Great, you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.